This podcast replay is brought to you by AccidentLawFirm.com. For truck, motorcycle, and rideshare accidents, call Bobby Nunez, 305-444-4407. AccidentLawFirm.com.
Promised you we're going to start this hour talking a little fantasy basketball, and we do it with Andy Behrens every Wednesday here on the program. Send in your fantasy basketball questions. If you got some questions, you send them in on the AccidentLawFirm.com text line at 786-322-1105. You can also send them in on the YouTube chat board here, on Twitter at Big O Show. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens and catch his work at Yahoo Fantasy. Good afternoon, Andy. How you doing, my man?
Here we go. I'm good. I'd be better if I had a little bit more Luka. Be better if I had a little bit more James Harden, but I don't. I'm doing okay. How was your Thanksgiving, man?
It was great, brother, as long as I can relax. And the food was actually decent, considering my mother-in-law wasn't in town. So it was all right. It was all right. I survived, which was a good thing. Although
survive in advance.
Yeah, yeah. The Harden thing, that was a rough one because you get a lot of points one way, but then you get a lot of negatives with a lot of misses if that was, you know, your league scoring, of course.
Honestly, it's one of the weirdest great seasons I can recall. This man is averaging almost 40 points a game. Man is averaging 39.5 points a game, and he's doing it without even shooting a particularly good percentage. So you have this fantasy problem in categories leagues where, like, he just went 11 for 38. Like, you're gonna lose your week in field goal percentage off of an 11 for 38 performance, but he also scored 50, you know, like he's actually been sort of digging into his numbers a little bit today. His effective field goal percentage is one of the best of his career. It's like the fourth best of his career. I mean, that, like, taking 14 threes a game is just not, you know, like, our, like, the rules of fantasy basketball weren't even built for that, you know. It's a tough one. It's an amazing season, and I will double down on the prediction that at some point this year he's going to score 80. He's going to hit that Kobe number, because, you know, if he's averaging 40 a game, it's not that uncommon for people to have, like, one game in which they score twice their average. He's just going to have a game where he's hot and it's competitive into the fourth quarter, and he's going to end up with like 85 points.
I got to tell you that that last night was a funky game. And here's the thing. And I got to give props to myself on this, because a couple days ago, I noticed that there was an uptick in minutes for Lonnie Walker IV. And obviously, as a Canes fan, I follow him a little closer than most people. And I'm looking at the Spurs stinking out the place. And I'm going, okay, the DeRozan and Aldridge rumors maybe do become something. And I would imagine that after the 28-point performance last night, he now becomes a hot pickup. But what do you think? Because I got him on my team already. Last night I was smiling when he hit 28 points, because I'm like, all right. I'm going to start him next week over Kendrick Nunn. I'm going to bench Kendrick Nunn for him. And my point, or my question to you is he now a under-the-radar guy still, or is he now the obvious pickup of the week because maybe DeRozan does get dealt down the line?
Yeah, I will say I don't think he's under the radar anymore.
Right.
Obviously not after a 28-point game. He played 34 minutes. Like, he checked most of the boxes that you'd want to see. Shot, looking at the box score now, it was 10 for 18. He was, you know, if you're the sort of person who's checking in on like the daily news and notes around fantasy basketball, he led a lot of those stories. So once that happens, you know, he's going to be a pretty high buzz player for a few days. A weird team. You know, just a team in this era that's built around the talent of LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan is weird. I have no concept of what the market could possibly be for either one of those players, because I think they've both sort of established themselves as guys that you don't win a title by leaning on, you know, like it's really hard. Which contenders think that DeMar DeRozan makes them that much better? I don't even know how they get out of that situation. But I do think he's a guy who, and the minutes have just been all over the place. He's, in the last, you know, week or so, he'll play double digit minutes and then he'll play a single minute and then he'll play double digit minutes again. So it's not the most perfectly clean pass, but, definitely passes the eye test. And again, he's coming off a huge line. So I don't think he's under the radar anymore. I think he got in, when, you know, you really needed to. But again, a pretty talented player.
Yeah, well, I picked him up 2 days ago. He was under the radar at that moment. Now he is no longer under the radar. Now, how do you view him? Is he a guy, do you think it's a flukish thing? Is it just, you know, whatever? Or do you think this is a guy that actually may turn into something because, hey, the Spurs do need it, actually?
I think he may actually turn into something, and the Spurs have a wonderful track record of playing the guys who are who are actually going well. I don't think they're going to get too locked into the idea that he needs to stay on the end of the bench, or he's not this brand name player, or whatever. Like if you're balling, Pop is going to play you. I think he's really good. I don't know that it's going to be 30 minutes a night. Because it's sort of a cluttered mess of a roster, in my view. But I do think he's pretty clearly settled in as somebody who should be seeing 20, 25 to 30 minutes, and that's certainly enough. He's got the talent, without question, to produce for fantasy owners on that sort of usage.
All right, and remember, if you want to follow Andy Behrens on Twitter, it's at Andy Behrens. Catch his work at Yahoo Fantasy. I suffered an injury yesterday. Well, the weird part is you set your lineup on Monday, and so yesterday was the first time that the Wizards were going to play, and I just found out that Thomas Bryant is now out for like 3 weeks with apparent foot injury, and I'm stuck with him now for the rest of the week. I can't even change him because you have to have your lineup set on Monday. I hate it. But that's one of those, you know, stickling things that have been part of our league forever. So now Davis Bertans had a good night last night, and he's already been showing flashes. And then Mo Wagner's injured, but he's about to come back. Which one of these guys? Is it Bertans? Is it Wagner? Is it both? How do you look at this situation without Thomas Bryant there?
Yeah, I love this question. I'm glad you asked it. This is a really interesting team for fantasy purposes. I think the first thing I want to address is your league format. Like, I, in theory, like the weekly transactions because I don't necessarily feel like a fantasy title should be won by the person who just has the most availability to get online and make transactions and stuff like that. Like, I don't mind weekly lineup setting. Because nobody's generally thrilled by, you know, the idea that you can just stream positions every day, every season, and you win titles that way, but whatever.
Okay. You know what? You convinced me, dude. I never thought of it that way. That's fantastic.
Cause I feel like it balances things between the notion of like, you got to really know the player pool. And it's not, like, you're obviously pretty good. If you picked up Walker a couple days ago, like, you're obviously pretty good at identifying talent early, right? Like that still wins out. I just don't like the constant churning. The problem is when guys get hurt on Monday, and I've been burned by this a couple times already this year. I feel like De'Aaron Fox might've gotten injured in a Monday practice. And like, I missed that whole week. Like, that stuff sucks. Anyway, to your question, Bertans just played a really great game. He had 40 minutes to play with because, like, there was nobody else. You know, Mo Wagner was out because of, is it an ankle? I think it's an ankle.
I think so, too. I think it's an ankle, yes.
The key thing with him is that he's day-to-day. And that guy's put up some numbers, and he's put up some really interesting rate stats so far this season. Like, he actually leads the league right now in effective field goal percentage, which of course is just basically field goal percentage factoring in three pointers. He's shooting over 40% from three and well over 40% from three. shooting 60+% from the field overall. Like, he's just been really good, and he's clearly going to come into a bunch of minutes. He's only day to day, I believe. So it's not like Wagner's out for, you know, 2 weeks or anything like that. And as soon as he comes back, I think he's probably going to be the more interesting of the two. Bertans might be, you know, whatever, you need block shots, something like that. He might be a little bit better. He's clearly going to play. But I kind of feel like his big game was the function of a ton of minutes. And I feel like Wagner's going to be the guy who's really going to be interesting if he comes into a significant, you know, significant usage, significant shot totals. He's really only been playing like 18-ish minutes per game. I'm looking at his season line right now. Yeah, it's 19.4 minutes per game. So if that guy's getting 30, he's super interesting to me.
Yeah, that's you're talking about Wagner, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool.
I'll tell you the whole team is really interesting.
But you're saying if Wagner gets the 30 minutes, not Bertans. You're saying if Wagner gets the 30 minutes, because I'm with you.
30 minutes a game. The way he's shooting and his ability to hit threes and just sort of his all category usefulness, I think he's really interesting. That team is suddenly like kind of a smorgasbord for fantasy owners because Isaiah Thomas is playing really well. There's been this little surge there. He just scored 20. And he's finally shooting above 40%, which he hasn't done for the last couple of years. So it would really be nice to see him make a run at like a comeback player, situation. Cause what just a good backstory. He was such a legend for Boston that 1 year, and he's playing really, really well right now. So I think he's actually an interesting add as well.
And let me add just a little caveat to the Wagner thing. If I'm correct, in most leagues, he is listed as a forward, and because Bryant will be out, they will play him at center. If he ends up starting enough while he's out, he will then get the center line. So, because I know in my league, he's only listed as a forward, but I'm hoping that if he gets enough center spots, then you can now move him from center to forward, too, so he'll be, you know, available in two positions. I think I'm correct on that.
In Yahoo leagues right now, he's already a power forward and a center.
Wow.
Okay. And as people know, I could argue that we're generous to a fault with our positional designations, but that's kind of where we're at. He's absolutely going to have to play center minutes, and I would expect other fantasy providers would flip him over as soon as he is.
Yeah, I think he's still only a power forward in CBS. I'm pretty sure. Yes, he is. I just pulled it up. So in CBS, he's still only a power forward. So just in case, if you play the CBS league, now you'll know that Mo is a guy you could pick up and stash and could end up being a... And in the end, it's what you talked about. Even when Bryant comes back, Mo still could end up getting the playing time next to him.
Yeah, he can... That's a really good point. Without question, he can play alongside him.
Right. So there you go. Mo Wagner, Davis, Bertans. Two options for you. And Lonnie Walker, if you're sleeping under a rock, go get yourself a little Lonnie Walker. Let me ask you something. Kendrick Nunn, is he losing a little luster? Because I brought it up today. 3 of 16, 5 of 15, 6 of 16, 3 of 11. He's 17 of 58, 34% in his last four games. He's 5 of 28 from 3-point range, shooting a paltry 17%. So is the youngster losing a little sizzle here right now?
Yeah, I find, and you're probably obviously, I'm sure you're seeing every Heat game. So you're more plugged in than I am. I'm seeing highlights and I'm seeing the occasional game. That's like a spin the wheel team. They just always got somebody who's popping off, right? And it's some unexpected talent. Really, really fun from afar. Probably kind of maddening, but close. So yeah, like he loses a little luster, but you could say the same for Tyler Hero, who's obviously had some ups and downs as well. Like they were never going to shoot exactly as torrid as they were at the start of the season. But I also have no doubt that Kendrick Nunn is going to come back and have games like he did to open the season again. So I feel like he's just going to be kind of a roller coaster-ish hot and cold player.
Yeah. That's usually what it is with a young guy and trying to figure it out. And I think this is just a little bit of a funk, but I did add a twist to it today here on the show. I said, well, you know, that door just creaked a little bit open for Deion. Now, if you keep screwing up and you keep burying yourself, then that's when the coach has to say, well, wait a minute, I'm going to have to put Goran as a starter and start using Deion as the bench guy. You know, that you almost start, and I know Spoelstra doesn't want to even look at Deion after Deion ran his mouth and said anybody could coach the big three and all that. So he dissed Spoelstra. But I'm just saying, not right now because it's way too early, but if these struggles do continue a week or two from now, people are going to start talking about that.
Wow. What an amazing off-the-court season Deion has had to this point. Like, it's just really hard to imagine him coming into a first full minutes. I guess it could certainly happen. And Nunn is technically a rookie, right? Like, he's already played as well into – he played his way into sort of an all-rookie first-team discussion. I'd hate to see that end because it's just been such a really fun story.
Well, he's the rookie of the month. I mean, come on, you know. Yeah. So let's hope. Hey, listen, I'm hoping it continues. I have him on my fantasy team. Here's the other one that I wanted to ask you about. Kyle Kuzma, has he become just a guy that you just cast off and put on the street? Because hell, AD was even sick last night and he's still balling, and Kuzma isn't getting the playing time unless AD is going to be injured. So is Kuzma down to being just a handcuff? Because he was a decent, you know, fantasy player last year for anybody that had him. He was a starter. Now, dude, he doesn't even look like a bench player for you.
Yeah, it's tough with him because he is, and I think we've talked about it before, he's really the only trade asset they have, right? Like, they can't flip, you know, seems like any LeBron-led team that is in a finals discussion is obviously going to be a candidate to try to add pieces or a piece or whatever it is they need at or near the deadline. And they've dealt their way into a position where they can't really flip picks because all the picks are spoken for that they can possibly trade. And Kuzma is sort of that one asset that they could attach to another player, try to match some salaries a little bit and get something in return. So they would have to build him up into a player that would actually be coveted by like a rebuilding team. And he's, you know, like, he's due to get paid pretty soon too. So you've got to regard him as somebody that you'd be willing to give a decent contract to. So I feel like he's got to get built up a little bit, but you're right. I mean, he basically entered this year as somebody who was primarily only going to be of assistance in terms of points anyway, right?
Yeah.
Not a guy who put up big skills. Like, he just doesn't give you any what we call defensive goodies, right? Like, it was less than half a block a game last year. And he was playing 33, 34 minutes a game and giving you only, like, half a steal a game, half a block a game. So he's not helpful there. Not unusually helpful in terms of percentages. You know, he's like a 75%-ish free throw shooter, 45-ish from the field. So he's not really helping you there. He's not a particularly good percentage three-point shooter either, but he chucks them, you know, for better or worse. So he was really only going to help in points, and now he's not particularly helpful there. So, yeah, like, you can't, fantasy-wise, you can't trade him. Nobody's particularly interested in acquiring Kyle Kuzma. And you're like, you don't want to play him either. So a guy that you don't want to throw into your starting roster and who has the trade value is definitely a plausible drop. You know, unless he's getting 30 plus minutes a game, I don't see how he can be extremely helpful.
And if you want to send in any fantasy questions, it's 786-322-1105, the accidentlawfirm.com text line. You can also send them in on Twitter at Big O Show or on our YouTube chat board there while you're watching. Bless you, Bill. D'Angelo Russell. The long-term view of it, how do we look at it as a fantasy player? Do we expect him to stay there in Golden State, or because of everything that's happened, will they deal him? And if they do, who's the guy you target to take over those minutes and maybe become a fantasy asset?
Yeah, this is super interesting, too, because I really don't see how they can hold on to him. Like, they should be and pretty much are right now in tank mode, right? And positioning themselves for a draft pick that they didn't think they'd be in position to get. D'Angelo Russell could mess around and win you four or five games over the balance of the season. That's just not like that's not helping. They don't need that. I doubt very much that they regard him as a serious part of the future as they head into the next 3-4 years with, you know, the end of Steph Curry's prime and whatever they get left. Like these are the final years for like Clay and Steph and Dre, and they can make another run at it plausibly, but I don't know how you fit D'Angelo Russell into that. They're not learning anything about it this year because Curry's not around, Clay's not around. I consider it more likely than not that he will be dealt. That he would be dealt by the deadline, or certainly in the offseason. I don't know why they would push him back out onto the floor. He is expected to return, I think, on Wednesday against I think it's Charlotte on the schedule for them. But there's almost no question that without him, like, Ty Bowman has been the guy that benefited. He's got the shots, he's got the minutes. He's in all likelihood going to get crushed by Russell's return. They are starting to get a bunch of pieces back. You know, Looney back, Russell coming back eventually, I suppose. Steph comes back. Like, they probably shouldn't put themselves in a position to win too many games.
Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens. Andy, are you on the Western Conference Player of the Week's bandwagon, Carmelo Anthony?
I think it's fun that Carmelo has played well. I think it's really fun. I did not think that a winning environment was necessarily the right place for him. Like, I just kind of wanted to see him go out guns blazing on a losing team, and it didn't matter that all he ever did on defense anymore was just sort of point at where other people should go. I mean, it's been fun. I he's a beautiful player. At his peak, he was amazing. It's fun. I'm for it. Obviously, James Harden was the player of the week. That was a crock. That was an absolute crock. A guy averages 40-plus in a given week, and he doesn't win player of the week. That's crazy.
He had 25, 19, and 23. Okay, good week, but really? Come on, dude. In this league? I mean, you know, nice week for – it's almost like they gave it to him because of who he is and all that good stuff in the pub. And I mean, but last night he went 2 of 9. 9 points, baby. So he kind of went.
There's gonna be plenty more of those lines ahead. Like that's a lot of what Carmelo Anthony is gonna deliver. Like at this stage in his career, but still, it's a fun story. And they actually won some games. That was good.
Yeah, no, it definitely was a fun story. It's like watching the Harden Westbrook thing yesterday, and I was talking about it earlier. I mean, one dude goes 11 of 38, the other guy goes 7 of 30. It's 18 of 69, dude. 18 of 69. I mean, they shot 5 of 26 from 3-point range. It's just when they both got together. You've got to be crazy to think, oh, that's a great idea. The efficiency is just going to go through the roof with those two guys. I mean, just nuts to have those two guys on one team.
Well, I feel like the Rockets are maybe going to force this. Like, we need some rule changes regarding the three and how, like, it's just no fun to watch this many missed shots. And I know it's the right shot to take. Like, the math is overwhelming.
Right.
It is the right shot to take. And playing the game as they're playing it is, in fact, a winning approach. Like, all the analytics will tell you that. But it's not pretty to watch. Like, the reason I don't get super into college basketball is I'm not tuning in to watch somebody shoot 37% for an entire game. And I don't care where the shots are from. Like, I don't want to see that many missed shots. It is a rough, rough watch. And obviously Harden has the further complication that he will slow the game down by, you know, he's great at drawing fouls. He's great at finishing through contact. And that is a valuable skill. It's not that fun to watch people shoot free throws, and it's not that fun to watch miss jumpers, no matter where they're taken from. You know, like, it's just not aesthetically pleasing.
I got to tell you, that exchange between Harden and the fan, I didn't come here to see a free throw shooting contest, and then he screams back, I didn't come here to get fouled or whatever. It was just awesome, dude. That was hilarious yesterday.
It was pretty great. Like, he's a really colorful player. It's just hard to watch a team shoot 37-38% for a full night.
I'm with you there. All right, give me an under-the-radar guy you like this week for streaming leagues, you name it. Give me something that maybe we didn't talk about you want to talk about.
Well, I want to shout out Isaiah Thomas again, who I actually just batted in a couple of leagues, coming off a 20-point performance. And again, he's shooting reasonably well. I think we'd kind of written off Isaiah Thomas as a guy who could just crush your field goal percentage if he was actually going to be in a position where he's going to get shots up. And now that's not so much the case. He's hitting shots. He looks a little friskier than he has necessarily last season, something like that. So he's a guy who's available in about 70% of Yahoo leagues. And I'm scooping him up. I'm plenty interested. And again, I feel like we mentioned him last week too. You can probably tell that I'm trying to replace guys like Aaron Fox and John Morant right now. But I'm pretty interested in Rajon Rondo too, who's been hitting the occasional three. And even with LeBron, you know, just putting up huge assist totals, crazy stats, Rondo's found a way to assist on 6-7 baskets tonight. So he's been useful as well.
Follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens and at Yahoo Fantasy. What are you guys doing there in basketball so they can check you out?
Dom Delton and I have the Yahoo Fantasy News podcast. We're recording it tomorrow. I was just put together some notes for that. We release that every Thursday. I really hope people will check it out. Go to Apple, go to Spotify, wherever. Give it a listen. I don't even require you to subscribe. Just give it a listen, try it out. We've had some really fun guests so far, and we have a really good conversation on that.
As always, Andy, you're the best. We will talk to you on Friday for a little football, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Miguel. Catch you soon.
You got it, baby. Be good. There you go. The great Andy Behrens. That was a fun fantasy basketball segment. There you go. Hope you guys liked it, man. Hope you guys are enjoying. Those of you at least that listen to fantasy basketball, hope you're enjoying. And if there's something you want us to add to the fantasy basketball segment that you think might make it better, send it in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line at 786-322-1105 on Twitter, on DM, Big O Show, whatever. If you got any ideas, not just for fantasy basketball, anything else for the show. And if you want to become a sponsor of our program, help us grow so we can keep this going for everybody, you can also reach out to us on my Twitter page at Big O Show. DM me if you want on the accidentlawfirm.com text line, 786-322-1105. My email, orlando@thebigoshow.com. You can send it there also. Many ways to contact us here on the show.